Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hey, friends, welcome back to today's episode. Looking forward to continuing where we left off yesterday in Romans chapter 11, loving the opportunity to get into these chapters and demonstrate the love and goodness and heart of God. I love just seeing the heart of Paul in these passages, seeing his love for his people, seeing his dedication, his passion for the gospel, and then to think that Paul is just a measly example next to the heart of God and to the commitment of Jesus Christ and his passion for us is just such a comforting thought. And I hope that you have, in all of the minutiae that we've talked about, I hope that you've been able to maintain a big picture view of the heart of our God. So here we are in Romans 11, and we left yesterday talking about that olive tree that represents really true believers in Jesus. So if you think about the olive tree illustration that the Apostle Paul is using, the branches that are in the tree are there because of their faith in Christ. So we talk about the natural branches, that would be ethnic Israel. The natural branches that are intact in the tree are intact because they have believed on Jesus. And the wild branches that have been grafted in, the Gentiles, are there for one reason, and that is because of their belief in Jesus. This is very similar to what Jesus told his own apostles in John 15, and that is we abide in him. He is the vine and we are the branches. We used to sing that song as kids. He is the vine, we are the branches, his banner over me is love. I won't do the motions, but that's the point. So look at, if you would, at verse number 22. I think we ended there yesterday. Look at verse 21 for context. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spared not thee. So Gentiles, don't put yourself in the same proud position that the unbelieving Jews were in back in chapter number 9. Now look at verse number 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. So we can see in this metaphor of the olive tree, we can see, you know, how God in his goodness and mercy and grace has included people. And we can see that God in his righteousness and his holiness is willing to cut people out. And we learn both. We can learn both angles, can't we? So verse number 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity. Yeah, it's a pretty cut and dried thing that when you don't believe on the promise of the Messiah, when you don't believe on the person of Jesus Christ, you are cut off. And then the Bible says, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. The idea there is God has been good to those that have come in by faith. What goodness, what an example of God's goodness. Now, it's not just a professional faith, a faith that just professes to believe Jesus, but it's a bona fide, genuine faith, the kind of faith that perseveres, that continues. So what the Apostle Paul is not teaching in this verse is somehow that we are responsible for keeping our salvation. That would go against the whole teaching of Scripture. No, it is God that keeps us. God saves us. God keeps us. He performs that which he began. We know all of that. But the point is that saving faith is a continuing faith, a faith that continues to trust God and manifest the genuineness of that bona fide belief. So that's the point he's making. Now look at verse number 23. And they also, speaking about those that have been cut off, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. And I love that because that comes back to the Apostle Paul's heart back in verse number 14. And that is that these that have been hardened, these that are temporarily blinded, these that have stumbled, there is hope for them. And if there's one theme that we've reiterated in the last few weeks, it has been this, that hardened does not mean hopeless. And here's another great example of that in verse number 23. If they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. There's hope. And I'm sure that that's what guided and incentivized the Apostle Paul as he went from city to city, as he wrote letter after letter, even though he had been so demonstrably rejected by his own people, even though that they had, in a visceral way, rejected the message and even beat him and run him out of town and all of those things, Paul maintained this spirit of hopefulness and optimism that there was indeed hope for them. And what fueled that? What fueled that optimism that the Apostle Paul had for his countrymen? What was it that kept him going? I think it was his own testimony, because the Apostle Paul talked about that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, about the fact that he was the chief of sinners, and he was the one that so vehemently resisted Jesus. And remember, even Jesus himself said to the Apostle Paul, Saul, at that point in his life, back in Acts chapter 9, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I have been goading you. I have been pricking you. I have been convicting you. I have been drawing you. You've been resisting me. It's difficult for you to continue this wrestling match with me. So I think the Apostle Paul realized that the hatred and the opposition and all of the violence that he was facing reminded him of that was the way he responded to conviction. That's the way Paul responded to conviction. He was the one that was ramping up his persecution. He was the one that was going to Damascus. So I think what incentivized the Apostle Paul to keep on keeping on was he saw in all of the hatred and vitriol of these Jewish unbelievers, he saw a little picture of himself. And that kept him going. And I think that probably would be a good incentive for you and me. And sometimes when we witness to family members that might mock us or be sarcastic about our newfound faith in Christ, or maybe a coworker or a neighbor that has ostracized you, I think it's important sometimes to remember where we came from and the way that we looked at Christianity, especially those perhaps of you that were saved as adults, to look back and realize, well, that was me. That was me. And that would help you have compassion for those whom you're trying to reach for Christ. Anyway, just a sidebar there. Verse number 23 again. So if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able. Don't you love that? God is able to graft them in again. So there's hope for the hardened. Look at verse number 24. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, so think about it, your previous life, Gentile believers, you were in that wild olive tree, that olive tree that was not producing, the olive tree that was not connected to the root of God or to Christ. And God took you out of that wild olive tree and grafted you into the true tree because of your unbelief. So that's the point here. So in verse number 24, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches? Now, the natural branches that were cut off because of unbelief, How much more shall these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? You get the picture? So if you see this olive tree and some of the branches have been pruned out because of unbelief and they're off to the side, and yet here's this wild olive tree representing the world and the Gentiles, and because of unbelief, they were grafted into this true tree, then how much more shall these branches that were cut off of the true tree, if they believe, they be grafted back in? That's the point. And the extended point here is, hey, Gentiles, maintain a spirit of humility. We are all undeserving. And we of all people to be able to be included in the covenantal promise of Abraham by faith, to be called children of God. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That's the language of the Apostle John there in 1 John chapter 3. So maintain that humility, maintain that faith, maintain that awe of, don't get over the fact that you're saved and you don't deserve to be saved. That's a great way to apply these verses to our experience. Would you look at verse number 25? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. So a mystery in the Bible is that which was previously not understood, but now is understood or is explainable and understandable. So what is Paul talking about? Well, look again. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant. So I want you to understand something here about something that previously perhaps was not understandable, this mystery. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, so here it is, blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles be come in. So Paul is explaining now what is dispensationally, what is God doing? You know, so why is there this blindness now in Israel, in part both in view of time and in part in both in view of they're not like they can't believe. I have Jewish friends today that are Messianic Jews that believe in Jesus the Messiah. So what's going on here? What's the fullness of the Gentiles? So remember what Paul is teaching in this passage, what the Holy Spirit is teaching through Paul in this passage. And that is that because of the unbelieving Jews and the gospel now going to the Gentiles have this marvelous opportunity to come into the Abrahamic covenantal promise, to be grafted into that olive tree. And then also, because of their belief, some of these unbelieving Jews have become jealous that Gentiles now are enjoying the covenantal blessings of their God. And maybe that the jealousy they have about the Gentile believers coming in will incentivize them to be saved. So see how God is working. So what is happening here? Well, the Bible says that this has happened until the fullness of the Gentiles. So in this, what we call church age, the age of the church, sometimes we call it the age of grace, but I think that's a misnomer. I think every age has been the age of grace. But the point is this, that God has redirected his focus and attention upon the church in this age, these 2,000 years. So if you think about it in terms of Daniel's 70th week or 70 weeks, God has already fulfilled 69 of those weeks, if you study the passage in Daniel chapter 9. And then there's this kind of this indeterminate period of time between Daniel's 69th and 70th week. But God again will focus all of his attention upon his promises to his people Israel in the 70th week. You and I as Gentile believers in this church age will be raptured out of that time to return with Christ at the end of that 7-year period of time. I'm getting way too far into the weeds right now. This is a separate study. But I wanted to say all that because the fullness of the Gentiles means this period of time where the gospel is doing its full work among the Gentile world. That's not to say that Jews during this 2,000 year period of time so far cannot be saved. Indeed, they can. It's talking specifically about focus. So here in verse number 25, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in, and verse number 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. So there is coming a day when Israel as a corporate entity will believe on their Messiah. So we would say today, does Israel as a corporate entity, ethnic Israel, do they believe on the Messiah today? And the answer is no. You know, I go to Israel several times a year. As most of you know, I own a little company called Land of the Bible Tours. And by the way, we are full on for our fall trips this year. I just got back last week from Israel. Things are safe. Things are good. It's a great time to go to Israel. I'd love to have you come with me. But the point here is when if you go to Israel, they're not talking about Jesus. They're not worshiping Jesus as their Messiah. Ethnic Israel is not in belief. But the Bible says that there's coming a day at the end of the fullness of the Gentiles when God redirects his attention to the nation of Israel, that there will come a day. And this prophecy is actually really spelled out for us in Zechariah chapter 12, when Israel as a corporate entity will see him whom they have pierced. Who is that? That's Jesus. When Jesus returns and they will believe on him, they'll realize that they were wrong and they'll mourn as a person mourns for the death of his firstborn son. And they will realize in that moment in humility and in faith who their Messiah was, that they missed him. They missed him. So Paul, I think, is referencing that. Look at verse number 26. And so all Israel should be saved. And then the quotation here from Isaiah 59. Oh my, I just looked at the clock. We are 2 minutes over time. Gonna stop right there. We'll come back to the prophecy in verse number 26 next episode. Sorry to keep you waiting, but we'll see you next time. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.